chapter number 3 tonight and preach what I thought about this afternoon. The Lord spoke my heart about this, and I want to preach what I believe to be the most important message, or most important subject, should I say, in all of our lives. And whether you're saved or whether you're lost, this is, without a doubt, the most important subject in all of our lives. And so, you know what bills are good for, junk mail? They're good for writing sermons on, amen? And sometimes I put them in my iPad, and sometimes, it's just where you're at when God gives it to you, I reckon. But I want to preach from Mark chapter number 3, if you're able to stand with us. And I don't know, some time ago, I preached from this same passage of Scripture that I'm going to preach from tonight, but I want to preach a different message that God gave me from this passage. Mark chapter number 3, notice in verse number 31, the Bible says, "There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. The multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren." Look at verse 35. "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." Father, Lord, I ask you tonight, if you would, to help us. I pray that you'll give us the wisdom and the words. Lord, I don't want to do anything tonight that would grieve the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you'd use us to be a help and a blessing to the hearers, but most of all, to honor you. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture, and leading up to this passage of Scripture, that Jesus has people here that is trying to deter him from doing the will of God. And it's very easy to see in this chapter. If you look at verse number 21 there, the Bible says, "And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, He is beside himself." And so here his friends, we find that it's trying to hinder him from doing what God has called him to do by basically saying that he is beside himself. In other words, he's lost his mind, his reasoning. And I would say tonight that these friends tried to hinder him. It was probably based on loyalty, but nevertheless, they would have been a hindrance in the life of Jesus Christ. Then if you look at verse number 22, the Bible says, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth out he devils." So now his foes are trying to hinder him. I mean, his friends were, it was out of loyalty, but his foes here, you notice they're lying on Jesus by saying that, he's full of the devil, but he's full of the prince of devils, amen? And so we've got friends trying to hinder Jesus from doing the will of God. Now we have foes that are trying to hinder Jesus from doing the will of God. But when we come to our text tonight, we have family hindering Jesus, or trying to hinder Jesus from doing the will of God. I would say about the friends, it was probably out of loyalty. From the foes, it would have been due to lies, amen, as we see that in the text. But when we come to our text that we've read tonight, when it comes to the family of Christ, we know that it would have been out of love. Mary has traveled some 30 miles to get to where Jesus is at in this text here. And when we come to verse 31, we see the mother. "There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him and calling him." And then there's the multitude. This was not done in a private setting, but it was done in a public setting, as the Bible said, "And the multitude said about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee." And so we see here the multitude. Notice the master in verse 33, what he says. "He answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren?" This is an interesting question here that Jesus asked the crowd, and it almost seems that it lines up with what the friends were saying, that he is beside himself. You see, he doesn't even know who his mother and who his brethren are anymore. And so we see the master. But notice the moment. Jesus seizes the moment in verse number 34. And the Bible says, "He looked round about on them which sat about him and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren." I mean, if it wasn't already bad enough, now Jesus makes another statement that is even more confusing. confusing to the hearers than the first statement. He looks at everybody and says, behold, my mother and my brethren. Amen. And so this moment has really caught everyone's attention now. They're thinking that Jesus must have lost his mind. He must be beside himself. His friends have tried to keep him from doing the will of God by their loyalty. His foes have tried to keep him from doing the will of God with their lies. And now his family has come to him out of love, even though they have a pure motive and they're sincere. We know that they're sincerely wrong, amen, by coming to Jesus concerned that he is going too far, that he is doing too much, that what he is calling the will of God could be something that could lead him down the wrong road here. And Jesus confuses the crowd by saying, who is my mother and who is my brethren? Now, all of this leads to our text, verse 35 tonight. Here's the message. Jesus brings this down to a message. For whosoever, now it's not just about him, but it's about all of us. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my mother and my brethren and my sister. Jesus said, I'll tell you who my family is. It's those who do the will of God. And I want to preach on this subject tonight. I think it's the most important subject in all of our life. In all of our lives, I want to preach on the will of God. The will of God. I think you'll agree with me that when Jesus came into this world, he was focused from the very beginning on doing the will of God. I do not believe that Jesus came into this world not knowing God's will and trying to figure out God's will and somehow stumbled into Calvary and it all came together in the end. That's not what he said. Amen. In fact, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. From the very beginning, Jesus said, I'm not going to be deterred. I'm not going to be, listen, the world can say what they will. Friends can think what they will. Family can say what they will. Foes can say what they will. But Jesus was focused on doing the will of God. And the closer he got to the cross, the more determined he became to do God's will in his life. He was nearing the end. He knew that he was fixing to die. This is what he came into this world for. And the Bible said when he looked at Jerusalem, he set his face toward Jerusalem like a flint. Amen? Meaning that he would not be deterred. And when you consider the will of God tonight in all of our life, each one of us has a responsibility to do the will of God. Amen. Now, what that means tonight is that we are to find it. Amen. That means we are to know God's will and then we are to follow it. That means we're to get in it. Once you know God's will for your life, and once I know God's will for my life, I then have a responsibility that I found it now to follow it, to get in whatever God's will is. And then we are to focus on it. That means we're to be like Christ and not be deterred. We are to fulfill it. Amen. Actively do what God has called us to do, and then we are to finish God's will. Amen. What that means is we're not to quit, we're not to give up until God is through with us in this matter. Amen. Now, I wonder tonight how many of us, you don't have to raise your hand, I wonder how many of us tonight know what God's will is for our life. You know, it is shocking tonight the people that will spend a lifetime in church and never even consider and think about God's will for their life. People make major decisions without ever praying about them. We're seeking the face of God. I want to say tonight, God's will is not one of the most important things in our life. It is the most important thing in our life. Whether or not we do God's will has a great effect on others around us, particularly our loved ones tonight, how it affects them. We must be in the center of God's will, and we can be so that others, it helps them to be in the center of God's will. I know that everyone has their own choice and is responsible for themselves, but I think you would understand that if a daddy gets out of the will of God and gets out of church, it's going to affect the wife, it's going to affect the children. If a mother gets gets out of the will of God and gets out of church. I wonder how many children tonight never got saved because dad and mom got out of church and they never got to hear the gospel. And you say, well, God loves them and he'll save them. Perhaps I know that God loves them and perhaps they do get saved and get in church, but I think there's a lot of people that never had a chance in life because of the road that mom and dad went down. Amen. And when it comes to God's will tonight, what you and I have to remember is that God's will is both practical and it's personal. Amen. It's practical and personal. You're here tonight and you say, well, preacher, that sounds like a big, a tall order to think about knowing God's will. Well, let me just say this, because I'm going to give you some thoughts here in just a minute. But when it comes to the will of God, in order to do the personal things, you got to start doing the practical things. You say, what do you mean? Well, it's God's will for you to be saved, isn't it? 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. So the first question tonight is this, are you saved? You say, well, I'm not saved. Well, it's God's will for you to be saved, so God's will begins with you getting saved. Amen? If you're not saved and you know you're lost, then you need to be saved tonight. You cannot do God's will if you're not saved. Can I get a witness on that? That's the first step. That's the main thing. That's what God wants. That's practical. That's from the Bible. It is God's will for you and I to be saved. It is God's will for you and I to be separated from this world. So how do you know that? Well, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, amen, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Living a holy life and living for God is not unreasonable. God said it's reasonable, amen. And he said, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is God's will that he saves us. It is God's will that he brings us out from this world and that he separates us from the world to himself, separates us from this world to the Word of God. It is God's will that we live a separated life. Amen. In fact, 1 John 2 and verse 15 said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And he said, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But get a hold of this. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Somebody said, why do you live a separated life? Because that's God's will. It's God's will that we don't listen to their music and we don't go to their honky tonks. It's God's will that we don't wear their fashion. We don't talk like them. We don't act like them. He brought us out from this world that he might bring us in, amen, to the things of God. He took us out of nothing, amen. That's what the world is. It's nothing. And he put us in everything. I'm saying tonight it is God's will, the practical side of God's will. It is God's will that you be saved. It is God's will that we be separated. So here's the question. Are you saved tonight? Here's the second question. Are you separated from this world? You know, Bible separation is a doctrine tonight. In fact, it's one of the first doctrines of the Bible. If you go back to the book of Genesis, before God created a valley, a river, a rock, a tree, or anything else in this mud ball that we live here, you know what the Bible says he did? He separated the light from the darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5 said that we're children of light, and so we're not in the darkness, and so we're to walk in the light as he is in the light, and we're to have fellowship one with another. And the Bible said in 1 John chapter number 1, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. I'm talking about tonight, it's the will of God that we be saved. It is the will of God that we be separated. Now, you may be saved tonight, but if you've not come out from this world, then you're not doing God's will tonight. And then it is God's will that we be spirit-filled. There's a process, saved, separated from this world. Why? So that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 and verse number 18, and be ye not unwise, but understanding. what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. It's the will of God that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need Spirit-filled saints. Can I get a witness on that? You say, well, how do you get filled with the Spirit? Get full of the Scriptures. Amen. You get saved, number one. Let the Holy Spirit live on the inside. Separate from this world, but don't stop there. Don't just have a list. Amen. But come out from this world. Amen. But do what Psalms 1 and verse 1 said, or verse 2 said, delight in the law of the Lord. Amen. You see, you separate from the world so you can separate to the Word of God. And that's what'll help you live a Spirit-filled life. Amen. It is God's will that we be saved. It is God's will that we be separated. It is God's will that we be Spirit-filled. What does that mean to be Spirit-filled? It means to be under the Spirit's control. It means to live a separated life. It means to live a submissive life. It means to live a surrendered life. Now, I wouldn't argue this with preachers. And if you ever hear, and there's good men that makes this statement, and maybe they're more right than I am. I wouldn't fall out with a preacher over this. I've heard friends of mine make the statement. But people say, well, you know, the word surrender is nowhere in the Bible. And that's true. The Bible talks about submitting yourself to God. You've heard it said that one army can surrender to another army, but they really didn't submit. Isn't that right? But think about this. Submission has to do with our spirit. Surrender has to do with our flesh. And when we submit ourselves to God, the flesh has absolutely no other alternative but to surrender. The flesh will do what the Spirit of God dominates and leads. In other words, if we live a Spirit-filled life, the flesh is still as lost and it's still as wicked as it was before. But you know what the flesh has to do against its own nature, against its own will? It has to surrender. Amen? It lost the battle. Amen? When you and I get up tomorrow, if we submit ourselves to God, our flesh is going to have to surrender. It doesn't want to, and it'll live to fight another day, I promise you. But if God gives you and I, and He will, He'll give us the victory. If we live a Spirit-filled life, this flesh has to just go along with it. Amen? It just has to surrender. And I'll tell you, that's the difference. I think Brother Andrew Murray had it right when he wrote that book on the surrendered life, because the surrendered life is a crucified life. And what I'm saying tonight, the practical side of the will of God is that we be saved, that we be separated, that we be Spirit-filled. Now, I want to ask you this question tonight. You don't have to raise your hand. But are you Spirit-filled? And what I mean by that in practical terms is the Holy Spirit running your life on a day-to-day basis? Or is the Word of God, is the Spirit of God guiding your life, or are you running your life tonight? It all has to do with the matter of submission, doesn't it? And then it is the will of God that we be serving, that we serve the Lord. And I want to say tonight, when it comes to God's will, we do not choose God's will. God's will chooses us. The will of God can be known through two different avenues. Number one, it's the revealed will of God. You know, sometimes God just shows you, this is what I want you to do. Isn't that right? It's just revealed. It's just evident. Sometimes he just opens it up and boom, there it is. And you just know that's what God wants me to do. That's the will of God. Too many people, though, lean on that. They think that's the only way the will of God is ever seen, is it's just revealed. But sometimes the will of God unfolds. What I mean by that is there are times when, yes, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me clearer and showed me something, and I knew that was God's will. It was revealed. But then there are times when, can I be honest with you, I wasn't sure. It was a big decision. Maybe it was layered out. It couldn't all be one decision in one day, and you just had to take one step at a time. And guess what? You just went through one door, you just followed Him one step at a time. And guess what? Then you look back over some period of time. Maybe it's a week, maybe it's a month, maybe it's 5 years, but you look back and guess what? You couldn't say that in the first 50 steps. You couldn't have said it in the first 100 steps. You're just walking by faith, just trusting God from one day to the next. But when you get on this other side, you know what you see? You see the will of God, how that it unfolded in your life one step at a time. God uses different avenues is what I'm saying. Sometimes it's just bam, right there it is. Other times it's one step at a time, and over a period of time you can see more clearly. That was God's will. I said that for this reason. I think too many times people, when it comes to finding God's will, they don't focus on the everyday things. They focus on the extra things. You see, don't sit around and worry about, and young people, I'm not picking on you. I don't think you do this. Don't worry about who you're going to marry in life. Just do God's will today. And in His own time, in His own way, in His own place, it'll unfold. Don't worry about your career. Pray about it. Pray about who you're going to marry. But in its own time, in its own way. Don't worry if somebody else seems like their life is speeding up faster than yours. It's okay. Because we all got a different course. And some people's, man, I started pastoring when I was 18. I wouldn't advise anybody at 18 to start pastoring. I'm not even telling you it was a good idea for me to do it. I had a mutual relationship with my first church. They tormented me and I tormented them. It was unity all the way to the very end. Even the day I resigned, they was glad for me to go, and I was glad to go. I'm telling you, I pulled out of the driveway. I said, I'll never pastor another Baptist church or any church for that matter in my life. Amen. Obviously, I didn't know God's will. And I look back on it. You say, was that God's will? I don't know. I just know that's how it happened. I was going to be a prison preacher. I felt like I was for 3 years. They probably felt like they were in prison for 3 years. You say, was that God's will? Well, I learned some things, how not to do some things. But I can't tell you, I don't know if that was God's will. It's just the way it happened, and only heaven knows those things, amen? But what I do know is that it is not up to me. It is not up for you, to you to sit around and try to plan our life and figure out everything we're going to do. God said, just do the practical things. Just know that you're saved. Just live a separated life. Just be spirit-filled. Just serve where you're at. Just serve where I put you. And all, listen, if you'll do the daily things, then God will fill in the details. But I think sometimes we put pressure on ourselves by saying, well, I need to be this, or I got to go do that. Or maybe we say things like, I would like to do this. But you know, I think about Peter. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison and death, only to find out before the cock crew in the darkness, he would deny Jesus 3 times. That's the worst thing a Christian can do. Hey, that's worse than that, that's not a word. That's more worse. Where I come from, it is a word. You know where I come from, they say the word node. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about, and you know what I'm talking about. You say, what do you mean? I know that. One day my daughter said, Dad, you know it's not the right word. I said, I know that. I knew that. But where I come from, it's just I know that. I don't know how I got off on that, but there's a little English for y'all to help y'all next week, all right? You'll fail some test because of me now. It's all right if you're homeschooled, amen? No, you know, what I'm saying is that don't worry about the details. Don't try to sit around and figure out life. You'll go nuts doing that. Trying to put all the pieces of life together will drive you crazy. And tonight I want to give you very quickly 5 things concerning the will of God. Listen to me tonight. 5 things concerning the will of God. You say, preacher, I want to find God's will for my life. Do the practical things. Just do the practical things. God will take care of those personal things. But here's your 5 things tonight that I believe, according to the Bible, will help us concerning the will of God, what it involves. Number one, it involves precepts. The Word of God itself. You want to do the will of God? It involves the Word of God. You have to know the Word of God to know the will of God. Now, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have a doctor's degree. You don't have to go to Bible college, amen. But what that means is, how do you know the Word of God? I'm going to tell you how to know the Word of God. You just got to get in the Word of God. You got to get in it every day. Read your Bible every day. You say, why is that important? Because if you're going to know God's will, it involves precepts. It involves God's instruction manual. It involves this book tonight. And listen, anybody that says, well, you know, I believe this is the will of God, but they're not reading their Bible, there's no way I would try to make a decision in life without reading my Bible, amen? Because you're not going to know God's will if you don't know God's Word, amen? And just because you can quote John 3:16 or Romans 5:8, I'm talking about daily. You've got to have the Word of God. He said, in Colossians, he said, let the Word of God dwell in you richly, amen? I mean, you don't buy a house, you don't buy a car, you don't marry a man, you don't marry a woman, you don't raise children tonight, you don't do any of these major things without the Word of God. How many people do that though? Change jobs. And they're not even reading their Bible. Well, you make more money on the hour. It's not about how much you get paid. It's about God's will for your life. Don't you think God is interested in where you work at? Don't you think God knows the best job for me and you? It might be a white-collar job. It might be a blue-collar job. You'll never know what job God wanted you to have if you don't read your Bible. Well, how is God going to take the Bible? He's not going to say, well, go down here and fill an application out at this plant. No, he's not going to say that. But I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll give you a spiritual mind. He'll give you a verse. I'm telling you, it's amazing how that he can give you a verse that would have a principle in it that would shine the light on the place you need to go to work at. It's amazing how you have a verse that'll just comfort your soul in a time when you're searching for something that'll just be, you say, how's that going to be? I don't know, but I know this book is alive, and I know there's been a lot of times God's took the book of Proverbs, he's took the book of Psalms, he's took some story, some Bible story or illustration to open up my mind and let me see what he wanted me to do, and right there it was. It was right there, Brother Laddie. I'd have never saw it had I not opened my Bible that day. I'm talking about the will of God can only be, it involves precepts. Now mark this down. Anytime somebody makes a decision and says it's God's will, but they're not reading their Bible, it's a blind decision. Because it's impossible to know God's will apart from God's Word. Secondly, it not only involves precepts, but it involves prayer. We must pray for God's will. Isn't that what he said in the model prayer? That model prayer was a blueprint for us to know how to pray. When he said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, he wasn't talking about quoting that prayer, although I don't think there's nothing wrong with quoting the model prayer in prayer. But Jesus wasn't saying, now quote this every day and you'll be praying the right way. No, it was a blueprint. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's worshiping, amen? He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. And in earth as it is in heaven, that's yielding. Give us this day our daily bread. That's asking. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's confessing. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's watching. Amen. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's praising. That's six things that Jesus gave us. If we take those six things and just spent 10 minutes doing each one of them, then we could do what our Lord said when he said, why could you not watch 1 hour? How do I pray for an hour? I'll tell you how. You take the blueprint of prayer and you just do that. But in that blueprint of prayer, Jesus taught us that every day of our life and every time we come to God in prayer, we have a responsibility to pray, thy will be done. You see, prayer is not me getting my will done in heaven. It's God getting his will done on earth. Prayer is not me manipulating God into, Lord, this is, and there's nothing wrong with telling God the desires of your heart. But prayer is not, now, Lord, I like this girl, and she's pretty. And I believe, Lord, she is the will of God for my life. Lord, she's dumber than a box of rocks, but she's beautiful. And I believe somehow that if you'll let me marry her, if you'll give me peace about this, you'll help me educate this girl. Sounds like a real spiritual prayer. Then you come to the pastor, preacher, or you go to your parents. Oh, I tell you what, I've been praying for her for 6 months. And I believe it's the will of God. God's done gave me peace about it in prayer. I mean, no, that's not how you pray. You know what you pray, Lord? I have no idea who I'm supposed to marry in life, but you do. You already know the person. And Lord, would you bring them to my path at the right time, the right place? Would you let it be so clear that I would never make the wrong decision, that I would know that's what the person you want me to marry in life? And Lord, if it would be okay, would you not let her be ugly in the process? Probably okay to put that in there, ain't it? If it's God's will, she'll be the most beautiful lady you ever met in life. Amen? But you see how easy it can be in prayer to pray more of our will than God's will. Because sometimes the things that God wills in our life, can I be honest with you? They're not things that we want. But if it's what God wants, and I'll pray about it, eventually it will be what I want. I've never done God's will in life that what I could not get to the end of that or somewhere's in the process and say, you know what? That's what was best. That's what was better. Because what God wants is what's best. Am I right tonight? Or this book is right. Not my will. How many times did what I want seem to be what was best only to find out that God wouldn't allow it? Thank God, because we did pray about it. And only to look back and say, man, I'm so glad God didn't give me what I asked for. I'm so glad He didn't give me what I wanted. He knew what was coming down the road. He knew what was better. He knew what was best in my life. That's why we must pray about everything. We must pray for our children, train them, put the things in their life. But I tell you what you better do. Get on your face and saturate them in prayer. And it doesn't end when they get married. I'm telling you, there's a responsibility. Pray about your job. Pray for your spouse. You say, I got a good marriage and we love each other. That's good, but you better pray for each other and pray for yourself and pray for your church. We got a good church. Oh, I know that. But the devil hates this church. And we must pray for our church. And we must pray for God's will to be done. How many decisions have you made that you could honestly say, I prayed and sought not my will but God's will? Then I would say, thirdly, it involves patience tonight. The will of God involves waiting. He said, let patience have her what? Perfect work. Nobody likes patience. I don't know why anybody would name their children patience. I've met a few of them. Maybe they needed patience with them. I don't know. But I've met a few people. Patience. Patience. It takes patience in the will of God. Because God will not work on our timetable. God does not work on our schedule. He's not going to do things always in the same frame. Sometimes he moves quicker than we do. Sometimes he moves slower. And years ago, I used to make the statement, well, I'd rather be ahead of God as to be behind Him. But that's not a true statement. That's not a good statement, should I say. I don't want to be ahead of Him, and I don't want to be behind Him. I'd rather just be in step and in sync with whatever His will is for our life. But I tell you, you got to learn to wait. You got to learn to just let God work things out in His own way, in His own time. We can't bully our way through at the will of God. We have to let God allow things to unfold, because God knows, amen? He knows the right place. He knows the right time. He knows the right season of life. And sometimes God puts us in that waiting room. You remember, I think it was Brother Leland Strauss wrote that great book on God's waiting room. And if you've never read it, it's not a very thick book at all, but you ought to get that book and read it. It'll help you, amen? It's talking about sometimes God will put us in a waiting process, and it's in that place that we're waiting that we really learn how to pray. We really learn how to trust God. Patience. More people mess their life up because they can't wait. Young people, they turn 25 and they're not married, and they think they're going to not get married, so they hurry up and marry the wrong person. Adults, sometimes they get further down life's road and decide that they just, you know, can't wait for this. And wait. I remember a man told me one time here sitting out at the restaurant, he was fixing to do something that clearly wasn't God's will. You say, how do you know that? Didn't involve church, didn't involve the Bible. I asked that man, I said, have you prayed about that? I knew he hadn't, because it was going to require him to miss church constantly, 7 days a week. And he looked at me, all of a sudden I watched all the joy drain out of his face that God had given him. And he said, preacher, I'm going to do this. This is my chance. I said, you may do it. And I said, and you may see it as your chance, but I said, it's not the will of God, because it goes against the word of God. Promised big money. Promised a big job. Guess what? It fell through. It lasted long enough to get him out of church. It lasted long enough to get him to where he lost all of his joy and got bitter again. Everything God had done for him, the devil took it away from him. You know why? Just if he'd have just waited on God. I'll tell you, tonight we must be patient. Wait, the Bible says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Let God do what God wants to do in your life. It takes patience. And then, you know, and I'll say this and move on, but when God stuck me in a carpet mill, I thought that was, I'm telling you, if you've never worked in one, brother, I'm telling you, that, and I don't mean this, they're just heathen holes. That's the only way I can tell you about it. And I was working in the back of that carpet mill for those years, and I wasn't afraid of work. I just didn't like the environment that I worked in. No God, no, just curse words and all kinds of stuff. Never went to the break room. You couldn't go sit down and eat lunch, Brother Laddie, and just read your testament or something without hearing a bunch of stuff you didn't want to hear. So I'd just go get over in, you know, pile of boxes by myself. I wasn't trying to be better than nobody else, but I'm telling you, I just wasn't going to sit there and listen to that trash. And I can remember those years, how hard they seemed. And I remember some open doors that came open, but it wasn't God's will. Me and my wife, we went to Maryland. I'll never forget this. We went to Maryland and preached. Left on Friday, drove 12 hours, preached up there Sunday morning, Sunday night. We pulled out of there, drove all the way home. I mean, listen, rolled into the plant there. I mean, about 10 minutes before work. Hadn't had no sleep. I kissed her and kissed the babies. Went to work. Worked a 12-hour shift. And then went to school that night. Came home. And I mean, just about, you know, died. And you said, why'd you go all the way up there? Because I wanted to serve God. And I thought maybe God... I would go, I said, Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. Little church up there, Hartford Furnace Baptist Church. I remember that because I always thought, who would name their church after a furnace? I went up there and preached, sweet people. But I no more started preaching, the Holy Ghost said, this ain't where I want you. And I came back home. And I thought to myself, well, the Lord just going to leave me in the back of this plant the rest of my life. He didn't do nothing for me when I said, but I'll tell you, I remember the day going to work about 4 years in. I was going to work and I'd bellyache, complain to God about that place. But I went to work that morning. On my way to work, I said, Lord, I mean it, God broke me. I said, God, if you want me to work in this plant the rest of my life, if that's your will, then I want to do it with joy. I'm going to tell you, God turned my heart that day. And for the next 6 months, that's what I did. And I'll never forget one day, somebody said, you ever heard of Bible Baptist Church in Rossville, Georgia? I said, no. They said, you ever heard of Berman Cape? I said, no. It's funny, somebody told a story a long time ago about in a meeting how Brother Cape had trained us and we'd come up here in the church and all that, and we was eating lunch. He said, something got brought up about that story, and I said, yeah, it's a great story. I said, only one problem with it. He said, what's that? I said, none of it's true. He's like, well, I said, no, that's not how that happened. But I never heard of this church, never heard of Brother Cape. And he said, well, your pastor preached there. Why don't you call him and get him to put your name in? I remember making this statement. I said, I don't do that. I said, if God wants me in Rossville, Georgia, he'll get me there. And I remember that preacher said, well, they don't even know you. How are they going to find you? I said, I don't know. Never thought about that again. But the next week when I come home from work and I walked in, answering machine was blinking, I hit that, and it come on. It was Brother Charles Roach. All I heard was Bible Baptist Church, Rossville, Georgia, and boom, right in. I already knew I was coming to this church. Sight unseen, but I already knew it was God's will. You say, how you know that? I didn't need to find out what they could pay me. I didn't need to find out. I just knew. I'm telling you, patience. Wait on God. Providence. That was providence is what I'm just saying. All that was providence. God's will, we have to remember, it is not up to us to figure it out or to perform it. Or to make it known, God will make his will known in his own time. People make more mistakes by letting it be their hands that play out the will of God rather than the hand of God. Providence. Wouldn't you rather do something and know that God was in it and God put those pieces together rather than just you did it yourself? Providence. And then finally, the will of God involves preparation. Why does God tarry with us? Why does God let things come into our life that seemingly is not the things that we want, but yet it's His will? Because God is forever preparing us for glory. You see, God isn't just preparing us for next week or next month or next year. He's got a long-term plan in mind. He wants to make us more like Jesus. And if in order for me to, and I'm not telling you I am not by no means, but in order for me to be more like Jesus, it took 4 years in a carpet mill. For you, it may take something else. For others, it takes other things. But I'll tell you one thing it's good to know tonight is that when it comes to the will of God, He's preparing us. You know, God's preparing us tonight while we're in this church service. I'm not a Calvinist, but I believe that we're not here by accident. God knew every person to be in this building tonight. He'd know why there's a big old gaping hole right there. I've been looking at it all night. People that are sick and not able to be here. God knows all that, doesn't He? God knew we'd have a revival the week before Jubilee, which is the worst week of the year to have a revival. God knew that we would start raising money for something that wasn't even for Jubilee, the week before Jubilee, which is the worst week in the world to raise money. Why is that? God's will. But you know what He did? He's preparing something, ain't He? You know, God's preparing something in all your lives. And here's the thing about it. The will of God sometimes seems so far out there that it's never going to happen. But one day, Brother Ben, one day changes everything. You know that? One phone call changed my life. One person, one young lady could walk through that door tonight, could change your life. Just wait, right? One young man could walk through that door, could change your life. The other side of that coin is one bad decision. One job that pays more on the hour but takes you away from God could change your life. There's a positive and a negative to both sides, and I'm telling you tonight, the best way to do is just surrender and say, God, not my will, never my will, but Thy will be done. Lord, how many things tonight, as they get a song ready, think about this. How many things tonight do you need to know God's will about? You ought to write them down if you hadn't already. You ought to write them down.